Hi everyone, I'm Liam and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. All right, let's get started. Now, I should say just before getting started this week, I may sound a little bit different this week. I'm recording this one just in a very small office at my work. I sort of ran out of time to start of school holidays here in the ACT. I don't think anyone cares about this personal information, but we've got lots of family visiting and it's been a bit crazy. So I'm locked into an office at work. I'm using my portable recorder, which isn't quite as good as my normal one. And I've also got a very small cold. So the voice may sound a little bit cracky and a little bit crazy, and I'm keeping my voice down while people are working. And doing all the things, so there may be some bumps and crashes. But this week we're looking at element 6.1.3, Families Are Supported. It's part of Quality Area 6, Collaborative Partnerships with Families and Communities, and it's the third and final element of Standard 6.1, Supportive Relationships with Families. The description for this element is, current information is available to families about the service and relevant community services and resources to support parenting and family well-being. All right, so what's this one all about? This is another sort of element of Quality Area 6 that to me is fairly straightforward. What we're being asked to look at and think about here is pretty clear and direct. So this is really about saying we can better support children's learning and their well-being if we keep families informed about what we do, if they know what's happening in the service, they know why we're doing it, and that also we have a role to support families outside the service. I find this a really interesting point, and I'm looking forward to getting into this one a bit because I think it's a real challenge for services. We had an episode of the Early Education Show, I'm going to struggle to recall the number now, but we sort of talked about our centre directors expected to do too much. And one of the things, one of the points I tried to make is that this idea that we support families with challenges they may be having regarding parenting is a really tricky one. So I'm interested to get into that as part of this element discussion. All right, so let's have a think about this element 6.1.3 in practice. So we've broken this into a couple of some pretty obvious key areas based on the guide to the National Quality Framework. So that first point about being informed about the service. So what's happening in the service? Why are we doing what we're doing? This is a really good one and obviously links back to Quality Area 1, Educational Program and Practice, where there was the idea that we would be keeping families up to date about their child's learning and about the programming and planning for their child in the element information for families. So obviously this element's a bit different, or there wouldn't be much point just having a repeat of one of the elements of Quality Area 1. So for me, the big difference here is this is more about the service as a whole. So when we're thinking about how we communicate with families, obviously the specific information about their child and how they're going and what the planning is for their learning is important. So this is more just about the service as a whole. And I think this is maybe something we get a bit, we don't spend as much time on. We spend a lot of time, particularly in this world of apps and sort of direct communication about a specific child or a learning story that's kind of beamed out immediately. And anyone who listens to the main show will know my feelings on those documentation apps. I think we sometimes lose the idea that we should talk about the service as a whole, that we should communicate with families about things that are happening in the nursery, even if they don't have children who are in the nursery, and sort of, you know, the other way around as well. It's good for children, good for families of children, to get an idea of what's happening in other classrooms. But this is also an opportunity to talk about quality improvement, to talk about service philosophy. It's a great way to build those connections with families. It's something we think about a lot here in Northside, where we do far less of the direct here is what's happening for this specific child or even this specific classroom. We try and talk about our services as whole communities of children's of children, families and educators. And we find that's been quite successful at building a community around the service, you know, with the educators and children at the middle. So that's a really important way to think about it. So as I sort of said in previous elements, it's about thinking beyond what we do every day. Thinking beyond the daily diary or the monthly newsletter or even the app. It might be something we've inherited, that we do things in a particular way because that's how the old director did it or that's how the old team leader did it. With these kind of questions, I always think, you know, what if you were starting from scratch? What if your centre was brand new, had just been built, you've just taken over, is the way you're currently providing information to families about what you do, is that the way you would do it if you had a chance to start again? And if it's not, that's a great way of thinking about different things. So, you know, using things, you know, like the, if you do a newsletter, maybe, you know, sending it out via, you know, a email service, or putting it on a website, or, you know, putting away the old Word template and using, you know, email in a different way. There are different ways that can be doing that, but, you know, I see for a lot of people that are in, you know, an app-based system now, just making sure we're fighting against that idea that all families need to know is about what's happening with their child. You want to grow that community and build that sense that there's more happening in the service that families should know about. So the second point here is about helping families in their parenting role, supporting parenting, and sort of family well-being. It's such an interesting point. So the one thing that I always try and remind people is that you know, educators and centre directors are not usually trained in parenting support or social work or all those kind of things. There will be a few amazing directors out there who do have qualifications in that, so this bit isn't for you. But in most cases, we're trained to work with young children, and we're trained to work with young children in a particular context under the National Quality Framework as educators, as teachers. So I'm always nervous about that we should be providing advice to families about how to resolve particular parenting things. I think we can talk about things that are in our, as part of our, you know, part of our daily work, so maybe supporting behaviour, those kind of things. But, you know, without knowing the specific context of the family outside the centre, that can be tricky. So we should absolutely be, you know, we shouldn't be turning families away, and we should remember that, although we may feel that we're not professionally recognised and that educators particularly aren't paid enough and centre directors are overworked, for a family, this may be the first contact, you know, they have on an ongoing basis with a professional who works with young children. So doctors may come in and out, you know, nurses will come in and out of their lives, but for a lot of families, this, you know, everyday interaction with an educator will be the most professional contact they have in this sort of capacity. So we should acknowledge that. But I think the things for me is making sure we don't overstep, that we should, you know, make, obviously never overstepping into judgment of a particular family or child, but also, you know, not overstepping where our skills base. We work in centre-based contexts alongside other educators. It's very different from parenting. For those people like myself who, you know, started as educators prior to having children, that transition of becoming a parent really changed the way I thought about both parenting, obviously, but also my role as an educator. There's a big shift in the way you think about that. So it's about not overstepping when you're having the discussion with a family. The best thing you can do is just make sure you've got lots of resources available. One of the great things about the world we're in at the moment is it's very easy to link to online resources. It's very easy to hook people up to different things. So I would always err on the side of saying, you know, if a family was coming to me with a particular concern, is having, you know, an informal discussion and being careful not to make judgments or provide, you know, advice, because that's not my skill or qualification, but saying, hey, here's some great resources, have you considered? And a big part of that is making sure they're available. You shouldn't have to, you know, go away and come back a week later with, you know, a couple of links. Make sure you kind of have somewhere you know you can go, you know, here's some help you can have with a specific issue. Making sure that's up to date and available is really clear. But those clear limits where you cannot overstep, I think, are really, really important. And I'm going to talk a bit more about that in the nominated supervisor section of this episode. And then the idea of the guy just broadening that out then to the local community. So, you know, a pamphlet, a booklet, a link to a website is great, and we shouldn't underestimate how good they can be. But you want to make sure, you know, your service is embedded in a particular community and your family is likely to be in that particular community as well. So keeping yourself up to date around where particular specific resources can be found. So, you know, to use the ACT as a very specific example, we have child and family health centres that are accessible to most families. There are Indigenous health services that we can refer particular families to as well. Knowing what's specifically in your local community can make you a great sort of network hub for those kind of things. And that's the kind of work I think we should be doing in. But, you know, that fits in with the overall theme of Quality Area 6, which is those relationships with families and communities. So connecting those two together is a great way to evidence the work you're doing in Quality Area 6. All right, let's have a think about some suggestions for nominated supervisors. So for me, again, I've sort of talked a bit, a lot of the discussion I had in the previous one was kind of targeted at leaders, because I think, you know, generally team leaders or centre directors really would be having these difficult discussions with families about their parenting and then supporting that kind of role. But for nominated supervisors, I'd really recommend, you know, having a specific area for family information that's easily accessible, and including some of that info in packs for new families as they come in. So there's kind of, you almost want to preempt some of those conversations so that families know if they're struggling, there's a visual reminder as they come in. And look, 95% of the families might just walk past it and you kind of get a bit annoyed, you're setting up and refreshing all these, you know, info packs and you've got a nice display stand and all those kind of things. But, you know, for the 5% that really is really important to them, even if, you know, two families a year, that makes the difference for them, and that's entirely worth doing. So having that area available where you can direct people, you can have the conversations in that area where you can talk about particular things, but including it in packs as families start is a great way to even preempt some of those conversations, as I sort of talked about, so that families may still feel uncomfortable about coming up and having a conversation, but they'll remember, oh, there was some info in that pack we started and it's available in the centre, so that people are feeling comfortable or feeling that they can research themselves and then may feel more comfortable in having those conversations if they need to. And then another point here is providing really clear direction to your team about how to respond to families needing support, making sure that it's professional and it's at an appropriate level. I think one of the worst things that could happen in a service is an educator who means really well, but, you know, maybe has only been at the service for 3 or 4 months and a family comes to them with a particular problem and that educator responds in a particular way that turns out to be not the right answer or lead the family down a route that's not so great. That's not what we want to have happen. We want educators to feel comfortable to go, hey, why don't you go and talk to the center director, or I know there are some resources in that family area we talked about. You know, we want to be able to set very clear limits on what educators of all levels should be discussing with families about their parenting role. We want that to come from a particular vantage point, and it should really come from the leadership of the centre, so from the nominated supervisor. And then let's think about a couple of ideas for the quality improvement planning, and these are fairly straightforward, I think, for me. One would be families are communicated with regularly regarding the service and our approach to children's learning and well-being. So again, that separation of the individual child and the individual family and talking about the service as a whole, really building that sense of community, and how we demonstrate that in the quality area. The quality improvement plan will be really unique to each service, obviously. We want to think about what's a way we can sort of tell the story of the whole centre, not just the story of an individual child in one moment in their learning journey. And the second one I have would be families are regularly provided with updates on local and community support for parenting and family issues. So that might be, you know, physical updates to booklets and brochures that are in the service. That might be emails that go out when a new service opens or a service changes what it does. Bringing those services into the centre as well. You know, there are a lot of services, particularly in rural and regional communities, where outreach is a big part of it. So you'll actually have someone who can maybe spend an hour in the foyer, you know, a week or something like that, where families can actually sort of connect in and out as they need to. But keeping those local community things up to date is really important. All right, I made it through this episode. Apologies again for any sound quality we may have. My voice has made it to the end, which is great. That's the end of another standard, so we're on to standard 6.2 next week. Thanks for everyone for continuing to listen, and until next week, it's goodbye from me.